Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well. Good evening, folks. Good evening. Welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network show. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. And I know the information that I'm going to share with you this evening is truly going to be beneficial to you, and not only to you, but to anyone else that's involved in the recruiting process. So if you don't take the advantage of it today, hey, all I can say is you're lost. I can't help you. Well, I can help you. I can definitely help you. I'll always be there to help you. But like I said, folks, earlier, we got another wonderful show for you this evening. We got our special guest, our very own compliance person coming in with us, and I think they're going to share some information with us today that we haven't had a chance to talk about in a while. And even you have the opportunity to call in and ask some questions and get that information out there or try to tap in on just the resource that you have in front of you. Use it to your advantage, folks. But I can't start my show without first going to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, on this little piece that he put together called The College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Like Keith says each and every time, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'll stress the point to their family that let your young folks know it's okay to have a little sense of intelligence. It's okay to be able to hit those books. It's okay to do what you do in the classroom. Because at the end of the day, all of that has to balance out if you plan to play at the next level, that next level being the collegiate level. You know, we're seeing these recent scandals. We're seeing these recent scandals, and I should say NCAA violations and all these other things that's coming up and surfacing. It's showing its ugly head as far as classes not really being taught and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. Let's not put our children or allow our children to fall into situations like that. Let's not allow our children or even encourage our children to entertain some stuff like that. Make sure that it is a valuable class because, you know, in all actuality, in all reality,
when one of our children fall into a situation like that, a trap, although it may be a sweet thing, it sounds good, looks good, everything else, but at the end of the day, when he or she has graduated and hopefully received their diploma, a degree from that institution, at the end of the day, they have to be able to go somewhere and apply and say, hey, you know, I like to work at this company. Or somebody recruits them to come and work at that company. But if they don't have that degree and they don't have no valuable credits to hold up behind their name, it's been a mute point. And family, parents, I'm here to tell you, you know where they're going to be. They're going to be laying on your couch. So if you don't want that, then I suggest we go ahead and make sure we dot all I's and cross all T's and sit down and look that coach right in his face and force him to give you some information on whether or not he's going to realistically monitor the classes that your children are in. Because I've been on many recruiting trips, and I sat down and talked to a few coaches, and, you know, that's the conversation that they throw out there. Yeah, we got so-and-so, so-and-so, coach so-and-so. He goes by and checks classrooms every morning. Or, you know, they all go out before they come in the office and check class. Y'all talking that fast talk. You know. So, I'm just going to put that out there. Look at the recent situation at University of North Carolina. Look at the recent situation at Syracuse. And I probably can go on and on and on. You know, even we're talking about UConn. I was about to say UConn. UConn. These are all big-name programs. These were elite coaches. They supposed to have been doing something really special with our children. I think they all got black eyes around about now. But parents, what we really and truly need to be aware of and need to start focusing on, here it is, 2015, NCAA is about to go through a revision. They just recently went through a revision, and now we got some new game plan on the table. And that's what we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about the eligibility requirements from starting in 2016, because if you don't know that game plan, if you don't have a plan already in place, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. So I reached out to our special guest, our friend, our colleague, our partner in crime to some degree, the compliance guru, from where we want to call it, and anybody else don't like it too bad. But I reached out to our folks, Ms. Alexis Avery, and asked her to come on and share some insight with us. And she's coming from deep down there in the South somewhere at Jackson State. So hopefully we can hear her as she shares this information with us. Lex, you on?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. Just checking to make sure. All right, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We made it out of the snow. I know you haven't experienced any of that down in your area, but we made it out of the snow a couple weeks straight and all that other kind of stuff. Every bit of probably 3-4 inches, but it shut the place down. So we're here. So I tried to get the folks excited about what we're going to talk about or what you're going to talk about this evening and what you're going to share with us. And hopefully this information will be an eye-opener and have some folks asking some questions, writing down some copious notes, and just making sure that they're on top of the game when it comes time for their child to be eligible. So I'm going to step back for a second and hopefully we start getting some folks to call in, 917-889-8095. Give us a call, and let's listen to what Ms. Avery has to say, and then we'll go from there as far as answering questions. Go ahead, Lex.
Okay. Graduating seniors 2016 Division One student athlete, the requirements have changed. You still will have to have 16 core courses. But within that 16 core courses, you have to complete 10 by your junior year. Now, it doesn't seem very hard, but, again, to get a scholarship, to be able to practice and compete, you have to get those 16 core courses along with within those 7 semesters, which is your junior year. 10 of those core courses have to be your math, English, and your science. And once you get those 10, they will be locked in. So if you repeat a class, that repeated class cannot help your eligibility. So it's not going to increase your GPA, and it's not going to give you an additional core course. So that's different for Division One.
Well, I got a question for you, and you just said something, and I know I have encouraged parents over the years. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break in on you. I didn't know if you was finished or you have some more that you're going to share with us or continue on, but I think at this point I need to jump in here with a question real quick.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. Okay. I noticed you just said that having those 10 core courses completed by, you know, the end of your junior year, going into your, prior to your junior year, going into that 7th semester, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you said something about repeating classes. You know, I've often encouraged parents to, you know, if the child have had some problems during their freshman and sophomore year and has some very low grades, then make up those classes during your senior year, you know, prior to graduating, of course, and do the classes during the time period that, you know, a lot of times, okay, they only need 2 credits, so only taking 2 classes. Instead of taking 2 classes, go ahead and take the full load of 4 to pick up some of them classes that you messed up on. But what you just said, will knock that idea and that concept out of the window. They won't be able to take any classes to fill in that gap if they've messed up or had any problems in their freshman or sophomore year. Am I understanding that correctly? Is that something that is truly going to be something that's carved in stone?
Yes, it's carved in stone.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, I guess it's time for us to go back to the drawing board because, you know, normally when you have some problems in your freshman year, you'd be able to come back late in your junior year, early in your senior year, make up a couple classes or retake that class to do something better as far as getting a better grade out of it. So, you know, so this goes into effect when?
The graduating the class of 2016.
Graduating class of 2016. So, in other words, before you are able to do anything at the college campus or on campus, starting whenever you get there, August, September time frame, whatever, this has already have to be in place, and you have to already have dotted all these I's and crossed all these T's. Man, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, our young men and women have prepared themselves for that and are ready for that major change. And they are looking at their transcripts and their GPAs very carefully now. So is there going to be, do you know of any loopholes or any possibilities where parents can well, not parents, well, where the athletes can make some last-minute adjustments. Say, for example, if they're winding up their junior year now and they'll start their seventh semester in September, is there anything that they can do to pick up a class or take another core class in that same area, to get a better grade or get a higher GPA?
Well, as long as the NCAA declares that their deadline has to start, once they start ninth grade, they have 8 semesters, so that's 4 years. So if they graduate on time, they have the ability to get one additional core course. So you have one credit, or you can do 2 half-credit courses that you can add on additionally. Again, if you need that, that's probably the only other loophole off the top, is having that one additional if you graduate on time.
Okay. So there is a possibility that in your senior year you can still take an additional core course to fill in a gap. Okay.
Yeah, you can do that as well. But just make sure that you can repeat a class, just the 10 that you have locked in.
Yes.
So say that you don't, you still have a foreign language to take, you still have a second math to take. As long as, again, that first grade, I would encourage B's or better, but we know that C average is there. Again, just making sure that you have the 10 best core in your math, English, and science.
Okay.
Those would be the only grades that you can't repeat, would be the English, math, and your science. You would be able to repeat your foreign language in social sciences.
Okay. Well, let me clear something up, because, you know, when we say the word repeat around here, far too often our parents think of repeating a grade. We're talking about only repeating a class, family. We're only talking about repeating a class. We talked about last week that this new illness that we have out here called reclassification, and where parents are having their kids repeat the entire grade in order to give them a better opportunity or a better look at from different schools. And we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about just simply repeating a class to get a better grip on what your GPA should look like. Well, in talking about that, and talking about having those 10 core courses early on, prior to your seventh semester, and giving the breakdown again, you got 2 semesters your freshman year, you got 2 semesters your sophomore year, you got 2 semesters your junior year. Going into your senior year, you have semesters 7 and 8. Or, let's make it real simple, going into the 4th year of high school, you have semesters 7 and 8. So whether or not you did do the reclassification or whatever, just like she just stated, you're able to pick up one additional core class if you're going into that 7th and 8th semester and you're still falling a little short. But at the end of that 7th semester, there's no semesters 9 and 10 as far as the Eligibility Center or the NCAA is concerned. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, now, what if they don't meet that requirement? Is there any way that they can go in as a redshirt and still be able to do the bare minimum as far as practice but not compete or anything of that nature?
They have what they call the academic red shirt. That means that they don't meet the sliding scale. So their GPA, their core GPA, and their test score does not match up on that sliding scale, and they don't meet the 10 core courses. So if you are declared an academic redshirt, then you will be able to receive athletic aid and practice.
Okay, athletic aid, as we know it and look at it, folks, we call that scholarship. If you're talking about Division One and Division Two, Division Three, of course, we know doesn't have that. So they still can receive that as a, did you say academic redshirt?
Yes.
Okay. And then are there any requirements for them receiving that? Do they have to maintain a certain grade point average before they're able to get to the point where they're able to compete?
Well, you will be able to continue to practice at the end of the first semester, so going into spring ball for football. So your spring semester, you have to have passed 9 credit hours.
Okay. Okay.
And again, that's NCAA. Again, every institution might be different. So my institution, it might be 9 hours in a 2.0. But for the NCAA, it would just be 9 hours.
Wow. And think about what she just said there, family. Think about what was just said. As far as the NCAA is concerned, it says 9 credit hours. Now, if you're talking about a prestigious university, institution, whatever, and they have a higher requirement, if we're talking about the Notre Dame, or if we're talking about University of Virginia, or if we're talking about, one of those other schools that have very high academic standards, in Duke in some cases, if we're talking about them schools, they can apply their own set of standards on top of what the NCAA has dictated, which is the 9 credit hours. So that is something also that we have to remember. That is something also that we have to keep in mind. Give us a call, folks, at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. I think I may have a caller on the line. Not sure if they want to join in on the conversation. But if you want to join in on the conversation, folks, of course, please press option 1. Once you call in and you hear Blog Talk Radio and they talk about option 1, please press option 1. That way I know you're wanting to join in on the conversation. And if you press it and for whatever reason don't get a chance to get to you or don't get a chance to answer it, that's because I didn't see it here on the switchboard. And we're going to step away for a hot second and come right back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back. I just wanted to step away. Had to check and make sure that we wasn't going to have any technical difficulties as we continued on. But we're talking with Ms. Alexis Avery, of course, our very own eligibility person, coming straight from Jackson State,
in the nice warm weather down there in the middle of nowhere. down there in Jackson, Mississippi. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. And she's been sharing with us the new requirements, the 2016 Division I new academic requirements. And that information, of course, you can find it on the NCAA website, but why find it on the NCAA website? And you got it firsthand right in front of you right now, and you have the opportunity to ask questions, you know, get in there and find out what you're missing, and if you are missing something or if your child's missing something, this is the time to ask that question and make sure you don't fall short, especially if your child is finishing up or at the point of finishing up his or her sixth semester, getting ready to go into the seventh semester come September. Well, you mentioned about the nine semester hours, and we touched on that. Is there any other possibilities or any other waiver situations? What if they're not a qualifier? What if they don't qualify? Then what do we have then?
There's always exceptions to the rule. So there are initial eligibility waivers that can be filed. I would say, again, that is institutional, because every institutional may not want to file every waiver that might meet the standards or requirements for if you have all of your math, science, and English requirements and you are 15 credits short, that deficiency, depending on the size of the deficiency, that institution might automatically file the waiver. So, again, yes, there are always exceptions. But, again, that would be, again, an institutional decision on if they file and how they file those waivers.
Okay. Now, along with this here new requirement and having all that, the grade point average, I'm not sure, that jumps up to a 2.3, correct? Hello? Lex?
Uh-oh, I had it on mute. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about that. I do that from time to time myself. I know several other folks that do that as well, so don't worry about that. That's just something I start talking and realize, okay, nobody's answering me. What happened? The phone somehow got pushed on mute, and we just go from there. But definitely, you didn't answer the question. 2.3, right?
The sliding scale starts from a 3.55 to a 2.0.
Okay. To a 2.0. I'm talking about with this new requirement. Did it jump up to a is it still at a 2.0 or?
Yes. The minimum is a 2.0. Because, again, remember, Division I has the sliding scale. So the higher your test score, the lower your GPA.
Okay.
Can be.
Now, when you're talking about a 2.0, at a bare minimum, folks, we're looking at a SAT score of 1020 and an ACT score as 86. And just like she just explained, the higher the GPA, the lower the test scores have to be for your standardized tests. And when we get to a 2.3, we're talking about a big difference all the way down to a 900 and with an ACT of 75. So please take a look at this information, folks. Please get your hands on a copy of, send us an email here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Get your hands on a copy of Guide College Bound Student Athletes. And look at this information and make sure that you understand it. And on top of that, not only that you understand it, make sure that your child understands it and his or her respective guidance counselor. Because we all know, and I'll be the first one to tell you, at every school registered with the NCAA, an NCAA membered institution has at least one individual assigned to the school, normally coming out of the guidance department, that should know the initial eligibility requirements. It shouldn't be a mystery. It shouldn't be something that they have to go look up. It should be, without a doubt, they can be able to rattle off the initial eligibility requirements. That way, there's no question in your child's mind, in your mind, or in any of the teachers' minds or coaches' minds or whoever, whether or not someone assigned to that position that should be able to step up and give us all the information on the initial eligibility requirements. And then those initial eligibility requirements, hey, they have to know it, because if not, students will fall short. And, you know, I would say as parents, we should, starting with the incoming class, the class that starts starts high school in September. Well, realistically, let's look at it this way. This class here, whoever's in school now, should know that this is the initial eligibility requirement from this point forward. Because the class 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, it shouldn't be a surprise to them 2-3 months from graduation, or 6 months from graduation, or a year from graduation, that you have these minimum requirements that they have to meet. Got any more information that you want to share with us, Lex? Did you hit mute again?
I did. Test scores. When your kids are taking test scores, they get, I believe it's 4 free choices to send their test scores, so they can send it to 3 schools and the eligibility center. Make sure that the eligibility center is one of those choices, because they're not taking test scores off of transcripts. So, again, take advantage of the free option the first time that they take that test. And they put 4-9s, because that's the code for the eligibility center. Make sure that those test scores are being sent directly to.
Now, I'm not going to try to, and I know you weren't prepared for this, but I want to throw a question in there from an NAIA standpoint. And if you don't have it, you know, right there in front of you, you don't want to just throw something back out there, just let me know that we can catch you at another time. From an NAIA standpoint, I know NCAA, when you're doing your test scores and all that kind of stuff, you put them 4-9s down there. Is there a code for NAIA as well? Or how does that work with their test scores and things of that nature? Did you hit mute again? Hello? 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 Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened to our guest. I see a call is still logged in here on the board. Anyone want to join in on the conversation, again, you give us a call at 917-889-8095. I see we got a few callers in here this evening. I'm going to pull up a couple of callers and see if they want to join in or ask a few questions or whatever else we got here. Okay, I think my caller just called back in again. Lex, is that you?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know what happened.
Okay, yeah, because I got you showing on the board here with 2 different calls into the switchboard. I'm not sure exactly how that happened.
Okay, what was your question? Because I didn't hear you.
Okay. NAIA. That you remember you said you put 9999 for NCAA. When you're taking the standardized tests, is there a particular code for NAIA school that you know of that you have, you know? I know you weren't prepared for that, and I know that wasn't part of our initial conversation, but I just want to throw that out there. You can always get back to us.
I don't know it, but what I will do is I will put it on Facebook.
On
your
page.
Okay. Because that I don't
know. All right. That information will be on the Parents Coach, the Parents Network page, folks. So, yes, you will get back to us. Well, I'm going to check out a few of our callers here, and I see we got a number of callers on the line with us. I'm going to go first to area code 973. Area code 973, you're welcome to the Parents Coach, the Parents Network. Did you have a question for our guest? Hello? Area code 973-332. I don't know if they're on mute or they just don't want to talk or they just didn't have a question. Okay, well, I'll put them back on mute and we'll go to area code 662. Area code 662. Welcome to the Parents Code of Parents Network. Did you have a question for our guest? Okay. Well, I guess not. Well, folks, if you have a question, this is the time to chime in and ask your question. And definitely we're here to assist you and understanding, get a better understanding of the recruiting process, making sure that you get the best out of it, understanding that you do have a responsibility in the recruiting process. And what I mean by that, parents, you know, and I say that time in and time out, you know, if your child is out there and he or she is playing the sport, they're heavily engaged, they're trying to be the best that they can be on the field or on the court, and they're doing what they have to do in the classroom. Why can't we, as parents, being their biggest advocate, pick up the slack and get a better understanding of these initial eligibility requirements, the recruiting process, the recruiting calendar, all these things? So that way, when that time comes, they're not relying on a coach. Because I know somebody just said it. Well, what about the coach? Isn't that the coach's job? No, it's not the coach's job. The coach's responsibility is to train and coach your child on the field or on the court. Because we have to remember and look at it from the standpoint of, if we're talking about a basketball team and we're talking about freshman JV and varsity, you can have well over 45 kids or 40-plus kids. Is the coach supposed to send out 25 to 30 letters for each kid in an attempt to get him or her recruited? Multiply that, now we're talking about football. Just on the varsity football team, you may well have well over 45 kids just on the varsity football team. Not talking about JV. Again, is it the coach's responsibility to do 25 to 30 letters in the process of trying to get that child recruited? Perhaps we have to pick up the slack somewhere along the line. We have to pick up the slack somewhere along the line. We're talking about the initial eligibility requirements, the new initial eligibility requirements, folks, that comes out in 2016. We have our special guest on, Ms. Alexis Avery, calling in from Jackson State. Down there, did you have any snow down there during this time period, Lex?
Yes, we had a snow day and a couple delayed days as well. So it's been a little icy.
You had a snow day. Okay, all right. add a couple of delayed days. It got so crazy around here, we almost had a streak 2 weeks out. Not to say it was that much snow. It was just the planning around here from our folks that make things happen. Well, anything else that you want to add in there as far as the initial eligibility requirements?
I have the NAIA score number code.
Oh, okay. By all means, please share it with us.
The NAIA code to send your test scores is 9876.
9876. In other words, 6789, write it backwards. All right. And hopefully everybody can remember that. Just start it with a 9, work your way backwards. And if you're considering an NAIA school over the NCAA school, I would say send that information to an NAIA school, and we'll still post that information up on our Facebook page. 9876. That's the test code number. Is that the correct terminology for that test code number?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Test code number. Test code number. I think we have a caller with a question here. Let's see if we go. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
Hi, Mike. It's Jackie Gibbs. How you doing?
Hey, good evening, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. I do have a question for the caller, and I'm sorry I joined late. I wanted to know about fifth-year students. So students that have set out possibly graduating and have an additional year of eligibility. Not sure if you are familiar with this or not, but is there any type of waiver they need to either stay in that school or transfer on to, say, another school to do their next year?
Jackie, I'm going to ask that you say that one more time. Because one, we had a little background noise coming in, and then two, I wasn't sure if I heard the entire question, so I'm not sure
what I guessed
got out of that.
So the question is, you have a student that is at a college now playing basketball. They set out a year, say they set out a year or have an additional year or two of eligibility because they got hurt or they transferred in and had to sit out or whatever. And now they have enough credits actually to graduate. And in graduating, they still have either 1 or 2 years of eligibility to play women's basketball, say. Now, is there any type of rule that would prohibit them from going to a different college in order to play if they don't want to stay at the school they're graduating from?
Hey, Lex. Uh-oh, hopefully she hasn't muted. Lex, are you still
there?
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Can I start out with that and let you finish that?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Jackie, and I know you probably know most of this, and I know you're very knowledgeable. Now, if I understand your question correctly, they've only used maybe 2, maybe 3 years of eligibility.
Correct.
Correct? Okay.
Correct.
They get a total of 5 years to play 4 seasons.
Right.
So in that 5-year window, they've used maybe 3 years of that of eligibility, so they still should have another year left of eligibility.
Correct.
whether or not they completed their degree work or whatever, they still should have that extra year left. Lex, you still there?
Still here.
Okay, did I leave anything out?
Nope, so that's true. Well, my question goes one step further, and say they have a year or two playing time, but they don't want to stay at the university they're at. Say they want to go to another university. Is there any restrictions to that?
There's a one-time transfer exception for a graduate student, so there is an exception. Again, unless that institution has a policy that is more detailed.
And when you say an exception, is that an exception that the student exercises, or is that an exception that the university that they are matriculating at exercise?
The student. The student athlete should be able to go to their, if they're trying to leave their institution, go to their current. I would suggest always talk to your head coach, that letting them know that they want to transfer, but so to go down the chain of command, and then have that, if they don't get anywhere with that head coach, then go to that compliance person and request that one-time exception. So by that, if they're requesting that one-time exception, they should know what school they want to go to. So they can make that, there's what we call a tracer or a release that we would send to that institution to verify academic information.
And who would send that? Would it be the matriculating school's compliance person or the NCAA?
It would be the institution.
Okay.
Okay, did we get all that question cleared up?
That was great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I know I have several moms that are going through that process right now, and I just it's a great answer to give back to them. So thank you for that.
The bylaw that you can research is 14.6.1.
Okay, I need to write that down. 14.6.1. Okay, great. 14.6.1. And is that an NCAA bylaw?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
For Division I.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
And Jackie is from a like-minded organization called Mothers of Athletes, and they have their monthly conference calls and other great things that they do around the country, participate in different events and go out and just share information again with, you know, other mothers and other parents that have children that are involved in the recruiting process or currently in college and trying to make sure that they get the best out of their situation. So we appreciate you calling in this evening, Jackie, and share the information, you know, with your parents. And if you need to get Alexa's contact information, we can pass that over to you, and hopefully she don't mind coming on and sharing some information with your parents as well.
That would be great. I would love to be able to speak with you and have you on our Mothers of Athletes monthly call. We have mothers and parents, actually. We started as just mothers, but it has really grown into parents as well, dads as well. And we have students, grammar school up through pro level, all athletes, parents get together and share information, and it would be great if you would want to come on, and we'll schedule you, and you'll have, and it's throughout the country. I'm sure you'll have a lot of questions from the moms.
Okay, great. I look forward to that.
And see, I didn't share with you early on that Alexa's an athlete in her day back in the day, not that long ago, but you know, some time ago. You laughing, Lex? I'm just being honest. I'm just trying to share with Jackie your background, that you are a stellar athlete back in your day. Yes, of course. And has worked at a number of different schools,
So you got it together yet, like?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing?
No, I'm finished laughing. I'm just listening now.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now, she's worked at a number of different schools, Jackie, so she knows regulation from various levels. You know, I asked her earlier on about the NAIA school because at one point in time, what school was you at the NAIA?
Auburn University at Montgomery.
Okay, Auburn University at Montgomery, and now she's at Jackson State, and she's been somewhere else, and she got a whole pedigree of different places that she attended. I think we have another question, but I will get your contact information to Jackie, if that's okay with you, and then y'all two can connect, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank
okay.
you. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Next question, is there a recommended score for the ACT or the SAT?
Every institution does both. I say over the years, I've seen more minorities take the ACT. When I was in school, I took the SAT, so I don't think there's a preference.
Okay. And as far as is there a baseline score that a lot of schools, once you see that score come in, like say, for example, you know, a child comes in there and they on the SAT, they score 1,400. You know, does a school look at that as being highly favorable or they just look at the sliding scale and say, hey, this 1,400 has to match, you know, if you got at least a 2.0, you're in there with that 1,400. Or if you come in there and your score is 900, but you only have a 2.2, you know, is there something about that score that really causes it to stand out at the various institutions that you know of?
Well, if you have a 1,400, more than likely you're going to be offered an academic scholarship. So, yes.
Okay. Well, I just threw out a number. That's not the question that came to us that said a 1,400. Because if the child is a 1,400, of course, more than likely there's an academic scholarship with his or her name on it, and that will be totally outstanding. Well, as we prepare to wind down here, I know you covered a whole lot of information. I'm going to see if I can recap a lot of this from memory. And if at any point in time I jack it up too badly, please, by all means, let me know. I just want to test myself and check my skills and see how much I retained during the time period that you were talking. Still at 16 core courses. This takes effect in 2016. The graduating class of 2016, as they step into school August 1st, somewhere around there, this will go into effect, the new requirements. And you still have your 16 core courses, but 10 of the core courses have to be completed before the start of the seventh semester, In other words, before you start that fourth year of high school, you have to have 10 of those core courses completed. And you said at that point those core courses are locked in. And the core courses was your English, math, and your science. So far, am I correct?
You're on point.
Okay. English, math, and science. And when we talk about those seven or those 10 core courses locked in, that means that those 10 core courses, you can't take those courses over again. Those courses have to be locked in, and it's not like you're going to be able to change the grade on those core courses. But you have to have those 10 core courses completed before your seventh semester. Now, in order for you to get in there and get in, you have to have your minimum GPA. And once you get that minimum GPA, you're considered qualified and you're able to compete, practice, and all the other kind of stuff. But then you mentioned something about academic redshirt. Academic redshirt academic redshirt. This is where I may trip over my tongue, so go ahead and pick it up from there, Lex. I don't want to mess this up.
Academic redshirt means that you will be able to practice and receive athletic aid, better known as scholarship. If you don't meet the sliding scale, so if you don't have the GPA and the test score, as well as not having the 10 core courses before your seventh semester.
Okay. So you can practice.
So you have the 16 core courses, yep.
Okay. You can practice. You can receive your athletic aid, which is your scholarship, but you cannot compete. All right. Okay. So as long as we have all those things in place, as long as we have dotted every I and crossed every T in that area, our child, as of August of 2016, should be able to step onto the court or step onto the field and be eligible to play, considering that you do all the other things that you have to do, register yourself with the Eligibility Center. And just a note on that, folks, if your child is a junior as of right now, as we listen to this broadcast, your child is a junior. By now, you should have registered with the Eligibility Center. Let's not wait until this time next year and register with the Eligibility Center. You should have registered with the Eligibility Center by now. I recommend that you register at the beginning of your junior year, no later than the middle part of your junior year. And I say that because in the second semester of your junior year, or actually I think it's in January of your junior year, you're eligible to start going on official visits. You can't do that if you're not registered with the Eligibility Center. So get all that information done. Make sure our children are on top of what they're supposed to be doing, because they're working hard on the courts and on the field. So we as parents have to pick up that slack at some point in time and do some of it for them. Not some of it, but do our part, because we are their biggest advocate. You know, and I always close out by saying be an advocate. Yes, we have to be an advocate for our children. We have to be that person that's always going to be in their corner, regardless of some of the good choices they make, some of the bad choices they make, the highs they do, the lows they do, whatever. We still have to be there for them, and understand something I shared with them earlier on. It is not the coach's responsibility to sit down and do all this for them, because got to remember, like I said, coaches could have anywhere from 40 to 80 to 90 kids in a program. If we're talking football, we're talking huge numbers. If we're talking basketball and they have a JV and varsity program, we're still talking at least 30 kids. If they have a freshman program, we could be talking up to 40 to 45 kids. So as a result, folks, we got to remember that some of these responsibilities we have to take on as parents. Lex, give us some contact information, and or I can share that with our folks on the Parents Coach the Parents Network page, or let us know what you're going to bring to us next month if you thought about that already.
I haven't quite thought about that yet.
Okay.
Contact
well, we can always find you at Jackson State.
Yes.
Are you planning on being there for a while, or do you have another? No, I can't put that out there, because if you had another job, and somebody may be listening, and next thing you know, they'll be asking, "Well, what was that job you were talking about yesterday on the show?" Anyway, find our guest at